guys know about the Civil War? Are you guys familiar with the Civil War? Abraham Lincoln, Ulysses S. Grant. The Civil War. Do you guys know about it? Were you there? Did you ever go to Gettysburg and walk the hallowed fields of Gettysburg where so many died? We're in the morning, if you walk the battlefield and the fog is slowly lifting, it looks like the souls who perished there on that day. Do you know about it? It's kind of glamorous. They've written in the history books, they've made it a beautiful thing, a war about sacrifice and stuff. Welcome to the One Art Poems podcast, the only poetry podcast not seen to pretension. I'm your host, Jake. I got my co-host, Gert, here again with me. Gertie, say hello to the listeners. What? All right. Yeah. Old Black Gert. She's been... You know, when a cat gets old, it becomes a sort of piece of sacred furniture, doesn't it? It moves down the stairs. It sits next to you. It's like a trusted ottoman after some time. But it's sweet. It gives love. I just saw that scientists were wrong about cats. They were measuring... The scientists were measuring the love that the animals were giving us based on dog love. And cat love's different. You got a cat? It's nice having a cat. I didn't think I'd be a cat guy. I always thought I'd have like a basset hound. I always thought I'd wear a scarf. I do wear a scarf in the winter, but I thought I would wear a scarf year-round. And I thought I'd walk around with my dog. And I thought I would read from little leather-bound notebooks in parks. But instead, I just sweat on my couch. Have you put the air conditioners on yet? I had to last night to cool off a little bit. It's already 79 degrees in Wilkes-Barre, which might be nice for some people. But as a fat, sweaty white man, once the hot gets heated, I get sweaty. I become disgusting. But I was watching, what happened was on Thursday night, I came home, I got some chips, some potato chips and some dip at the store, and I came home, and I said, oh, the new Star Trek show's on, let's sit and relax and we'll watch it. Do you guys know about Star Trek? There's like a civil war within the Star Trek community, within the Trekkers, the Trekkies. Star Trek was a science fiction television show that started in 1966. That's your Kirk and your Spock. Goes off the air. There's a letter-writing campaign to bring it back. People love it. It survives through a series of movies through the 70s and 80s. Late 80s, early 90s, they want to make the next generation TNG. That's the Trek that I would have grown up on. DS9, Voyager, all this derivative stuff. And but when they were making that, people that loved Kirk and Spock, they said, this new show is going to suck. It's going to suck sour apples. We hate it. And they had these write-ups and papers, and they said, you know, fuck you, Gene Roddenberry. Don't you do this to us. Don't you taint our souls. Don't you taint the world we love and we live in. The live, laugh, love. Live, laugh, Star Trek love. And then it came on the air, and it sucked for 1 year. It was terrible. Then it got better. And now people love it. And Whoopi Goldberg was on it. She played Guinan. People like that. But then many years passed, another few decades, and all those shows end, and they're going to make new Star Trek shows. New Trek, they call it, N.U. Trek. And all those people hate the new stuff because they love TNG. So it's a vicious cycle of hate, as it is with any science fiction property anymore. Remember when you just had action figures and you liked Star Wars and your buddy liked Star Wars and it was something that you got along about? Now it can't be like that. Star Trek can't be like that either. There's nothing, you can't love anything anymore for too long of a time before someone loves it more than you and resents you for loving it at all in the first place. That's the media landscape we're in. It's like, did you see Scream 5? I don't know. People were out there going, are they making a 5? Come on, a 5? We don't need a 5. We don't need to reboot that. We don't need more episodes of Lizzie McGuire. You see Lizzie McGuire? Did you see her? I remember my friend, I had his friend in high school, Chris Boyle. I believe someone hit him with a gun in the head. He was pistol whipped. That's what they called it back in the day. That's what kids were calling it. And boy, he loved Lizzie McGuire. He loved Hilary Duff. That was something he was into, you know. He'd say like, "Hey, what do you got a crush?" He'd be like, "Not anyone in school." "Who? Oh, not in this school? A different school?" "No, Hilary Duff. I'm gonna go down to the Disney Channel lot in Florida or Los Angeles, wherever they grew those children out of small fertilizer and lip gloss, and they built these children to entertain our children, right? They're growing those kids, right, Disney? Those insatiable little scamps. They grow those. They grow those with ice and melatonin and aloe juice. And they say, now here's a new Disney star. Give it a boba tea, and everyone will start drinking boba tea. And then we'll invest in boba tea, and Disney will own more, right? Isn't that society? Anyway, this guy loved Hilary Duff, but Hilary Duff said she was going to make a new Lizzie McGuire movie. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but I read this, and I was shocked. And she says, you know, I want to reboot Lizzie McGuire, have a new Lizzie McGuire series, and Disney says, that's a hot property. I know, I bet that'll get old Chris Boyle off his feet, tuned in and subscribing to Disney Plus. He had a weird finger. His finger was like bent. But I bet he'll be engaged in that. He'll put on his best sweatpants and sit down and watch the Lizzie McGuire reboot. And so Lizzie says, "Let's do it." Hilary Duff says, "Let's do it." And Disney says, "Let's do it." And then the girl who played Miranda on Lizzie McGuire is like, "I'm not doing it." So that was drama, I guess. And then Lizzie McGuire talks to a paper the other day, and she says to the paper people say, "Hey, Lizzie McGuire, what's going on with the reboot of Lizzie McGuire?" And Lizzie McGuire says, "Listen, I was going to make this fucking reboot. It's going to be astounding because Lizzie McGuire is a big part of everyone's heart and soul in this country. And I was going to reboot this, and Lizzie McGuire was going to have an adult life. She was going to be a 30-year-old, and it was going to be hot and steamy, and, you know, she'd be kissing boys a little more than she kissed boys on the old show." Remember Gordo from that show? Were you Lizzie McGuire fans? There's a guy named Gordo. I always remember thinking, I'm a little bit like that guy. He had a film camera. He had a haircut just like me. I'm sensitive like that. I was going to wear a scarf, remember? Was that before? I've been recording this twice because I messed up before. Did I say that I pictured myself wearing a scarf as an adult? That's why I have a cat. Holy fuck. But so then Lizzie McGuire in print, she says, "It's not like I was going to have Lizzie McGuire doing bong rips." She says, "I was just going to have her be mature. She wasn't going to be ripping bongs." And it was like, in what world did we assume that the Lizzie McGuire reboot would be just Lizzie McGuire sitting on a couch, a box of Cheetos next to her, watching reruns of Star Trek and ripping a bong with old Gordo, even though that seems realistic because the kid's name was Gordo. "Hey, Gordo, pass the pipe. It's me, Liz McGuire. Remember me? Remember me, Eddie? I killed your brother." What's that from? Roger Rabbit. Oh, I am excited, too, for the Chip and Dale's movie. You see that coming out? Chips and Dale's. Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers movie. Andy Samberg playing Dale. John Mulaney playing Chip. It looks good. It looks like a Roger Rabbit thing. This is a long advertisement for what will not be on Disney Plus and what will be on Disney Plus. Should I get you the release date for the Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers movie? Would you like that? Would that be a favor I'm doing society? If you have Disney Plus, Chip and Dale the movie is coming out soon, and it's coming out on May 20th. So set your clocks to that, my buds. Hey, did I get to the point where I was going to tell you that this whole episode's about Abraham Lincoln, and Abraham Lincoln wrote a poem, and people say that maybe he wrote the poem, and maybe he didn't, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to read a couple of Abraham Lincoln's poems, because I was reading a list of favorite books by presidents, and they all have terrible taste in literature. So there's that. What are you gonna do? Here it is. Just jam out to this. May 20th. Gumshoes. That's good. Okay, I'll be back in a moment's time with some Abe Lincoln facts. Sweat this one out. Hello. So, when I was recording that first part of the What Are Poems podcast, I sit up, I get Gert on the couch. I'm sitting in the corner. I'm kind of perched. We have a sectional. We had to get the sectional because we didn't like the two couches, because we like to every now and then be near each other, you know, have human contact with one another. This is me and Sarah, the old girlfriend, not me and Gert, the old cat. And so we have the sectional. So I kind of hunker down when I do the podcast. I used to do it at the table back in the day when I thought that I was going to get like thousands of subscribers and I would have to be, you know, really focused and have a table set up. But now I just kind of hunker down in the corner of the couch and I relax. And I had DoorDashed Arby's, which, all right, that's like the lowest someone can get, I suppose, in many ways. So I don't judge anyone for looking down at me for DoorDashing Arby's at 4 o'clock on a Saturday, still sweaty from the night before, from a little bit of from the 10 Miller Lights I drank. And so I had the door open a little bit to get some air in here. So I was crouched in the corner going on about Lizzie McGuire ripping bongs, the Chippendale Rescue Rangers. And the DoorDash lady was at the fucking door with my Arby's. But I didn't see her. And I have a thing on there, because this was the best thing that came out of the pandemic, let's face it. There's an option on the DoorDash app, if you're familiar, which you could just write, just drop the food in front of the door and leave. Like, you don't have to have any contact with someone. It's fantastic. Not that I don't think the DoorDash people are people and deserve to say, like, a hello every now and then, but I'm sure they don't want to deal with me and all my anxiety and me saying a bunch of stuff to them about whatever, you know. I'm sure they don't want me opening the door, grabbing my Arby's, looking as nightmarish as I do after being crouched in the corner of the couch and saying, oh, sure's getting warm out here. You know, they don't want to hear my opinion on the weather, which is what I'm going to give them. But anyway, so I'm like on the microphone and I'm talking, and I think she thought maybe I was talking to her because there's no one else in the house and she could see inside the door, and she's holding the Arby's in her hand, the soda in the bag, and she's looking at me and I'm going like, Well, Lizzie McGuire and bong rips, and I'm going on and on. And then she sees that I have all the microphones set up, and she's probably thinking, like, what the fuck is going on? And I want to be like, lady, just drop the food and go. But she was just, like, looking at me. I felt like I was in a zoo or something. She finally just left it, and she went. But that was wild. You ever been watched? How long was she watching me, you know? It's kind of freaky. Abraham Lincoln. What about him? Let's just talk about his poetry. We know about him, right? Do you want to know a little bit about him? He was an American lawyer and statesman who served as the 16th president of the United States from 1861 until his assassination in 1865. Lincoln led the nation through the American Civil War and succeeded in preserving the Union, abolishing slavery, bolstering the federal government, and modernizing the U.S. economy. So he did a lot, but in terms of poetry, this is from poetryfoundation.org. Check that website out. It's got tons of free poems and stuff on there, if you're into that kind of thing. It says, the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, worked as a lawyer and served in the Illinois General Assembly for 8 years and in the House of Representatives for a year before winning the Republican nomination for president in 1860. As president during the Civil War, Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation and delivered the Gettysburg Address in 1863. He was reelected as president in 1864 and served until his assassination, the war ending a few weeks later. Lincoln wrote poetry as a teenager, as who doesn't, you know? You knew the types in high school who were writing poetry. It wasn't your Chris Boyles. It wasn't the folks watching Lizzie McGuire. It was the people that were watching, like, D. DVDs from like single run BBC series, and wearing like netting on their arms. Does that make sense? They were wearing like mesh on their arms. That they had a few rings. They'd be writing down. What are you writing? Poetry. That's why it's got a bad rap too, guys. You know, it's those folks. They did it. They made it unattainable to like normal human beings because, like, it was such a part of their overall being. She writes poetry. Is that any good? I don't know. We still don't know. That's what we're doing here, right? But Lincoln, he was one of these folks, I guess. You know, think about Lincoln as a teen, a tall teen, knees for days, as they say, laying in his log cabin, kind of moody, kind of awkward, Adam's apple the size of a tumor, and he's writing down, you know, oh, my sad little body, my sad little boy. Is Abe Lincoln emo? At least in our head right now he is, right? Mostly satirical verse and short stanzas on the fly leaves of books. So he'd write poems inside of books he was reading. He worked on a longer poem in 1846, My Childhood Home I See Again, which he sent in a letter to Andrew Johnston, not to be confused with Andrew Johnson, the eventual vice president, a fellow lawyer in Illinois. In 1863, Lincoln wrote lines of verse on the occasion of Lee's invasion of the North. In 2004, an article for the Abraham Lincoln Association's newsletter attributed an unsigned poem titled The Suicide Soliloquy to Lincoln. The poem, a melodramatic persona poem, originally appeared in a journal in Springfield, Illinois in 1838. So they believe that this poem, The Suicide Soliloquy, which is, whoo, boy, what a title, heavy stuff, was written by Lincoln, but they're not sure. So it's published in a Whig newspaper, a four-page Whig newspaper in 1838, and shortly after Lincoln's assassination, one of Lincoln's personal friends, Joshua Speed, told Lincoln's biographer that Lincoln had written and published a few lines under the gloomy title of Suicide, although the actual article had never been found. In 1997, independent writer Richard Lawrence Miller, found the Suicide Soliloquy, and in 2002 came to realize that it matched the description of Lincoln's missing article. Although it seems to follow the same themes and styles as Lincoln's other works, there is still controversy over whether it was actually written by Lincoln. These are the arguments in favor of Lincoln writing the letter. The poem was published in a journal, a newspaper that Lincoln had previously published his other works in. The poem found was published in 1838, the exact date given by Lincoln's friend. The poem includes a similar meter, sync, diction, and tone with many other poems published by Lincoln. And the man who discovered the poem, the theme of interplay between rationality and madness, is especially Lincolnian in spirit. Lincoln suffered a patch of severe depression, and in 1835 he suffered suicidal urges following the death of a friend from typhoid. So he's kind of, you know, he's the moody boy, he's maybe a cutter. In addition to this, you watched Degrassi? I'm just talking about teen shows. What was her name? The best one. Ellie was cutting on Degrassi. That's like Lincoln. Lincoln's like Ellie. Ellie wrote poetry. That's who I'm describing when I'm talking about the girls that are writing poetry. I'm talking about Ellie from Degrassi. If you're a fan of Ellie from Degrassi, hey, write into the One Art Poems podcast at gmail.com and just let me know that you are. Let me just know that Ellie's your favorite Degrassi character, too. In addition to this, many of the symptoms of depression that Lincoln expressed in letters and several other pieces are discussed in this poem. For example, one of Lincoln's symptoms is described as a storm in his brain, punctuated by thunderclaps of thoughts, self-critical, fearful, despairing. He's laying in bed, anxiety-ridden. Abraham Lincoln. This symptom was demonstrated in one of Lincoln's other pieces, which he wrote of an intensity of thought, which will sometimes wear the sweetest idea, thread bear and turn it to the bitterness of death. This symptom comes into the poem when the narrator claims to ease me of this power to think, and through my bosom waves I'll headlong leap from hell's high brink and wallow in its waves. To ease me of this power to think, that through my bosom waves All head raves. I'm sorry. To ease me of this power to think that through my bosom raves, I'll headlong leap from hell's high brink and wallow in its waves. That's depression right there. I mean, he's describing it pretty good. I've been depressed before. One time I laid on the couch and I had my dog, my old dog Mocha, lay on my chest, and I said, boy, am I blue. But I guess it means depression comes in waves, it does. Although Josh, you know what's weird though? B.B. King never seemed depressed. Sang the blues for all those years, but he was never depressed. You never heard B.B. King going, oh, you know? That's not a B.B. King lyric. B.B. King's always like, my wife. B.B. King, what's the B.B. King line? I gave you a $10 dinner. You said, thanks for the snack. I let you live in my penthouse. You said it was just a shack. I gave you 7 children, and now you want to give them back. I've been downhearted, baby. That's B.B. King. I sing that at karaoke all the time. That's B.B. King style depression. Lincoln style of depression is the, it wallows in the waves, baby. Although Joshua Speed attributes, okay, so the arguments against his authorship of this suicide soliloquy. Although Joshua Speed attributes the same date of publication, there's a general lack of agreement on the year that the poem was published. Jesse Week, the co-author of Lincoln's biography, stated that the Lost Lincoln poem was published in 1841, while William Hernan's notes from an interview with Lincoln's closest friend Joshua Speed said that the poem was published in 1838. They assumed it had followed Lincoln's second suicidal breakdown, known to historians as the fatal 1st of January. There was a period during 1835 when Lincoln's friends became concerned for his safety due to his talk of suicide and created that would be considered today a suicide watch. So Lincoln on suicide watch. You know, let's get into it. This is why you shouldn't be, this is why if you have these feelings, this is a What Are Poems exclusive. If you need help, if you listen to this and you need help, email the What Are Poems podcast at gmail.com and I'll talk to you directly. If you feel like you're on a ledge and you need help. If you ever have these kind of thoughts. Because you could be Abraham Lincoln, my friends. If you're feeling down, which I guess most of you are, even though I was kind of dragging you, most of you that listen to this probably were the Ellie types from Degrassi in high school with the sadness and the notebooks. And maybe you don't have full lives, and maybe you do listen to this, and maybe you do need help. Or someone just to listen to you. But you could be Abe Lincoln, my friend. You ever think about that? You might not be all knees now, but you'll be all knees someday. If you keep at it. Yeah, world's not easy. Sure, you can get Arby's to your door and the lady will look at you and that's kind of neat. Like you're in a zoo about to eat Arby's. Like she was feeding a bear. That's neat. The whole nature's cool. You get a cat, your cat purrs, that's nice. Warmth of another creature when the cat lays by my leg, that's very nice. But there's sadness in the world. I get it. It's overwhelming right now. Sometimes it's not easy. It's crushing us down. It's crushing us down. The weight of the world's a real thing right now. You know? The air's thick out there. So I get it where it's like, you know, fuck this. Who needs this? But, soldier on, right? Which is like bullshit. Because I know when you're depressed and you're feeling down, you don't want to hear that shit. No one does. It's like just, they say, well, just cheer up. Oh, you're sad? Just cheer up. You can't. I understand that. But you can talk. You can start a conversation. And if this is one of your outlets where you find some sort of peace, feel free to reach out. Send me a poem. We'll talk. I'm here. So I'll come back, and I'll read the suicide soliloquy, and then maybe I'll talk more about Abe Lincoln, and maybe, did I read you the exact Lizzie McGuire quote yet? Stay tuned for that. This is Suicide Soliloquy. Soliloquy. It's a soliloquy, which is, this is a persona poem, by the way, and that's a poem in which the poet speaks through an assumed voice, also known as a dramatic monologue. This form shares many characteristics with a theatrical monologue, The audience is complied. There is no dialogue, and the poet takes on the voice of a character, a fictional identity, or a persona. So, bear that in mind when you hear this poem. Maybe written by Abe Lincoln, maybe not written by Abe Lincoln. Abe. Here, where the lonely hooting owl sends forth his midnight moans, fears wolves shall o'er my carcass growl, or buzzards pick my bones. No fellow man shall learn my fate, or where my ashes lie, unless by beasts drawn round their bait, or by the raven's cry. Yes, I've resolved the deed to do, and this the place to do it. This heart I'll rush a dagger through, though I in hell should rue it. Hell! What is hell to one like me who pleasures never knew? By friends consigned to misery, by hope deserted too. To ease me of this power to think that through my bosom raves, I'll headlong leap from hell's high brink and wallow in its waves. Though devils yell and burning chains may waken long regret, their frightful screams and piercing pains will help me to forget. Yes, I'm prepared through endless night to take that fiery birth. Think not with tales of hell to fright me, who am I damned on earth? Sweet steel, come forth from out your sheath, and glistening speak your powers. Rip up my organs of my breath, and draw my blood in showers. I strike, it quivers in that heart, which drives me to this end. I draw and kiss the bloody dart, my last, my only friend. Abe, baby, you were going through it if you wrote that. And to be honest with you, I think the guy, if it wasn't Abe Lincoln, the guy, you know. I don't know. Was that sad? I didn't like that. We're getting into a look of Abraham Lincoln sadness or whatever. I guess what we learned, I didn't expect to learn this today. I didn't expect to have a learned experience here. But I guess the point is, and what I said before, everyone gets down. Abe Lincoln was down a lot. Abe Lincoln abolished freaking slavery. We can get down, people. We got to rise back up. We got to keep going. We got to be the folks we think we're going to be. Hey, when I come back, I'm going to have a bite of my Arby's, and then I'll read something that I wrote about Abe Lincoln about 4 or 5 years ago. Me and my buddy Phil and Bob, we were going to try to do this podcast called 1848, which was going to be about the year 1848. I did like 5 months of research, but we never got off the ground. But I believe there's something in there about Lincoln eating a piece of bread, which is also could be a persona poem or a dramatic monologue. So I'll be back with that. Stay tuned, my Lincoln lovers, my little toads, my little Lizzie McGuire. Just, oh, and when I come back, what Hilary Duff said about the Lizzie McGuire reboot. Stay tuned. This is a thing I wrote. It was an audio drama called 1848, and we were going to put it out, but we never really got it off the ground. And this was Abe Lincoln eating a piece of bread and pontificating on slavery and humanity. So this was that. Here we go. Isn't this a wonderful piece of bread? Look how misshapen it is. How they've given it to us for half the price because something went and made it unique. What do the lumps of this bread make it? Let's stare at it a while. We'll use it as bait. See if the imagination cast its line toward us. It's a boat. A boat. A great steamboat pushing down the Mississippi. Steam billowing up towards the sky until it mixes with the clouds. What was man-made and what was God-made seem all the same for an instance. I remember being on this sort of ship, Robert. Marveling at all man had done. All his progress. But when such ships touch places like the mouth of the Ohio, they show me that we have not moved even an inch in the direction that matters. There on board would be 10 or a dozen slaves shackled together with irons. The sight, it's continued to torment me, the sight of men in chains, some who look stoic, who look strong, who wait with a great sort of honor for what is to come next, and some who are so broken, so tired, weeping at the sight of the high cotton fields they see in their minds. He continually exercises the power to make me miserable. So what will I do, son? What will I do? I'll eat it. By God, I'll eat it. I'll eat all the progress and all the shame and everything we were and could be and should intend to be. I'll swallow it whole like a sea serpent. And maybe this country will stop bleeding. Maybe then there can be peace if we just eat it. We just eat it. That was a little something I wrote for the character of Abe Lincoln in my unproduced, unpublished, un-nothing journey called 1848. That's it for What Are Poems today. Thanks for the journey. Stay strong. Remember, we're all Abe Lincolns. Oh, and I didn't forget. Hillary Duff says she had to be 30 years old doing 30-year-old things. She didn't need to be doing bong grips and having one-night stands all the time, but it had to be authentic. And I think Disney got spooked. Thank you, Lizzie McGuire. Thank you for wanting to keep the character the character. You know what? Play us out. Play us out with the Lizzie McGuire theme. And until next time, folks, peace and love. Peace and love. Beef Jackie.